We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Are you ready for a wonderful Thursday? I know our kids are having a great time at camp this week, or not my kids, but our church kids. They're having a wonderful time at camp, and so parents are enjoying a little bit of downtime, and all of that is wonderful, isn't it? So thank you for being here. We want to give a shout-out today to Jits Concrete, and if you have any block or concrete work that you need done, I encourage you to give them a call, 536-5804. They do excellent, excellent work, and we recommend them highly. So 536-5804. 536-5804. Ask for Greg. Tell him you heard about him here on the Refresh radio broadcast, and that would be awesome. So another quick announcement, and that is this coming Sunday, we will, for all those kids that were there this last week, we will be giving away free pairs of shoes. We're already, you know, planning on giving away more shoes this year than we gave away last year, and excited about everything that is going on. This Sunday is a joint service between our children's church and our adult service. We haven't done this in a long, long time, and so pray for us that it goes well. And so that'll be taking place at 10:30. We're really looking forward to what God has in store for these young people and for our church. So that'll be at 10:30. No Sunday night service this week. We had a service that was planned, and those plans fell through. And so we're giving our workers who've been working very hard the Sunday night service off to get rested and recuperated. School's just around the corner, and so a lot of families have shopping that needs to be done, and just getting their kids back into the swing of things. So that's coming up this weekend. So hopefully you'll come and join us. If not this Sunday, in the very near future, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 40 today. We've been studying through the life of Joseph. And in verse, let me go back to verse number 14. We touched on this some yesterday, but it says, "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, making mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in to the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket of my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of the three baskets or 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Yuck. "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." And so here the story takes a seemingly negative turn. And so let's go back and look at what, remember, we're still in the jail cell. Where we ended yesterday was Joseph interpreting the dream of the chief butler. And it was a favorable dream that he was going to be restored to his position, and all of that was going to happen within just a matter of days. I want to encourage you that at some point in time, there is going to be there is going to be an exit strategy that God implements from your jail cell. Remember, Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to set the captives free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not just freedom to do whatever you want. That is never what biblical freedom means. Freedom is freedom to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. What happens in our modern society is we look at our historic documents. People look at the Bible. They look at the Constitution, and they don't realize that the meaning of the words have changed. And then once they have redefined the words, then they want to go back and apply the new definition to the historic or the ancient documents. And they say, look, that's what it says, and this is what that word means. Well, it wasn't what that word meant when the document was written. And so I want you to know that freedom and liberty are not the freedom to just go do whatever you want to do, and that there are not going to be any consequences to it. That's not what it means. Instead, what freedom is you are freedom. You are freed from the confines of sin. You are freed from the shackles of the enemy. And you are freed to pursue the God-given call that he has on your life. You are freed to work for the glory of God. You are free to live a life of holiness and faith. You are freed from your doubt. That's what biblical freedom means. It doesn't mean that the standard has been lowered. In actuality, the new covenant is a raising of the standard, not a lowering of the standard. Some people think that that since Jesus came and was the fulfillment of the law, that it just threw away all of the standards. Not so. It raised the bar. Now it is evident that because he paid the price for us, that he actually owns us, to quote an Oklahoma phrase, lock, stock, and barrel. He literally holds the receipt in the nail prints in his hands. He says, this is what I paid for you. And so I just want to ask you, as we get into this broadcast today, did Jesus really die on the cross so that we could behave the way that we tend to behave? If we are not walking in greater spiritual freedom and faith and holiness, then I suspect that we may have bought into a fabrication of Satan, because we should be very grateful for what Jesus did for us. So Joseph says, look, I've not done anything that deserves being put into this dungeon. And so show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, get me out of this house. So there will be an exit strategy. Joseph is already giving instructions on how to behave when he gets out. And I just encourage you, rather than being a dream killer, be a dream encourager, the way that Joseph was. Joseph was then encouraging him. He said, look, your dream is coming to pass. And I just pray that when you get out, that you remember those who helped you get to where you are. Okay? So, verse number 16 says, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, and he begins to tell him about his dream. I'm not so concerned with the dream here today. His dream was that there were birds, there were baskets, and the birds were eating things out of the basket. And Joseph begins to tell him, look, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be hung in 3 days, and the birds of the air are going to come eat your flesh. He was telling him, you've got 3 days to live. And I'll get to that in just a moment. Let me go back to what I believe the motive of the Chief Baker was. I will set the stage first of all with this. In ancient times, one of the easiest ways to get rid of somebody from a position of authority was to poison them. And so it was easier to poison a powerful foe than it was to go to battle against them. And so there were people who were food tasters. And so you've got the baker who's in charge of the food preparation, and you've got the chief butler who's in charge of sampling the food before Pharaoh was to drink it. He was the Egyptian equivalent of Nehemiah. And so after they'd been in prison a while, I'm assuming that there was an investigation that was done. Pharaoh's birthday is coming up, and they determined that the butler was actually guilty of his crime, or the baker was guilty of his crime. And so he was executed, and the butler was restored to his position. You see, pharaohs and kings, they knew how important it was to surround themselves with faithful and trustworthy people. So I'll set the stage like that, and with that, I'll ask you this question. What kind of people are you surrounding yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself with people who are faithful, with people who are trustworthy, or are you surrounding yourself with people who are just in it for the fun, just in it for the mayhem? Would you be comfortable in a jail cell next to them? Because the scripture says bad company corrupts good character. And so somebody said, and I honestly cannot remember, he said, if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. If you show me your friends, I will show you your future. Whether it's godly friends or whether it's bad friends. Bad company corrupts good character. It rarely works the other way. It should work the other way around. But we people of Christian persuasion oftentimes believe that if we just lower our standards, that people will like us and they will want to embrace our lifestyle. I'm here to tell you, I believe that the thing that brings the greatest sense of revival is knowing that the standard is so far beyond our reach that we need somebody to help launch us to get us there. And that's the purpose of Jesus Christ. So, the chief baker, it says he saw that the interpretation was good, and he began to speak to Joseph. And so let me read again. I did this yesterday. Let me do it again today. And that is this. There are going to be people in your life that you have an opportunity to minister to. And right now I'll also speak to spiritual leadership or leadership at work. And they are going to be like the chief butler, and they're going to buy in to the things that God has laid into your heart. They're going to buy in very quickly. Joseph comes along, says, "What's the matter, guys?" And they said, "We had a dream. We don't understand it." And he said, "Well, tell me your dream. The interpretation belongs to God." And the chief butler says, "You know what? I know you. I'm in." In case you were wondering, that was an echo as I just hit my hand on the table. Nobody's here in the room with me, but I'm a demonstrative speaker even when no one else is here. Not really sure what that says about me, but anyway, the chief butler just, he says, "I'm in, I trust you, here's what my dream is," and Joseph gives him his interpretation. There are going to be other people who do not buy in immediately, but they buy in once they see the results. The chief baker here was what I would call a person who was a late buy-in. He was waiting for the results before he was willing to offer up his dream. He waited until he saw that the butler's interpretation was good. But here's the thing. God is the one who knows the heart. And so when there's the dream that's given, the person of the late buy-in, the chief baker, he says, "Well, I'm not going to tell him what my dream was until I find out what this other guy's interpretation is." If it's bad, I'm not going to tell him my dream. If it's good, then I'll go ahead and open up. You know, you and I, we've got to get to that place in our life where we say, you know what, God's the one that called me. It's his word that sustains me. And I'm just going to hang on here. I'm going to continue to pursue this call no matter what life throws at me. I'm going to continue on my way, whether it's good or bad. You see a similar situation to this in the Gospel of John, the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and where Jesus is coming to Peter and saying, Peter, do you love me? It's in John chapter 21. He said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter gets really, really frustrated because he asked him the third time. And he says, Jesus says to him in verse number 18, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. In Peter's case, there was a negative admonition that was given to him by Jesus. And Peter looks around at John and says, well, what about him? And Jesus basically says to him, what you really need to be concerned about is following what I have called you to do and doing the things that I've called you to do. Don't base your obedience on another person's blessing or lack thereof. Don't base your obedience on whether or not somebody else is obeying. And so as leaders, don't be discouraged if people do not buy into your vision immediately. A lot of times they are looking for the result. You know, in sports, they're called bandwagon fans. You know, whenever things are going great, then it's amazing how many fans you've got. But whenever you hit the skids and you go on a losing streak, it's amazing how quickly all of your fans disappear. I want you to know I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. I was a Green Bay Packers fan in the 60s. I was a Green Bay Packers fan in the 70s. I was a Green Bay Packers fan in the 80s. I was a Green Bay Packers fan in the 90s, the 2000s, and now the 2010s. In the 60s, they were awesome. In the 70s, they took a nosedive, and that nosedive remained until pretty much into the late 90s. And then they won the Super Bowl, and then they won the Super Bowl again. But during all that time, I remained a fan of that same team. I wasn't switching back and forth. So don't be that person that's only looking for the winner, although there are a lot of people that are doing that. I'm from Oklahoma, and one of our neighboring states is called Missouri. I went to school there. I called it the state of misery. I just didn't see much about Missouri at all. If you're from Missouri, I'm sorry. I'm sure it's a great place to be from. And I'm glad you can pass right through it. But I'm just serious. I'm having a good time this morning. I don't know how you are at work, but Missouri is called the Show Me State. And what that was is that, you know, that state motto is people were waiting until they saw the results before they would buy in. And there's always going to be those sorts of people. But I want to encourage you, God's called us to be the leaders, not the followers. And so I encourage you to buy into God's plan for your life because Jesus is worth following. I encourage you, don't miss heaven for the world. Don't miss heaven for fame. Don't miss heaven for fortune. Don't miss heaven for popularity or health. Don't miss heaven for a job. Good grief. Don't miss heaven for a job. That's just craziness. You know why? Because when they're through with you, they'll just get rid of you. You don't want to do that. Clock's ticking away. So the chief butler or the chief baker, he finally says, you know what? Here's my dream. Here's my interpretation. I saw what happened with this guy over here. It was awesome. I want awesome too. The only problem was the baker had issues in his life that nobody really knew about, but God did. The butler was accused of having issues in his life that God said, no, those issues are not his issues. And so he was restored. God is a God who restores us back to where we should be. And so I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about buy-in there today. Verse number 20 says, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but God forgot him. There's a verse of scripture that says, God's plans will not be thwarted. T-H-W-A-R-T-E-D, thwarted. That God's plans are going to come to pass. You know what? When I read the things in the scripture about the end times, I don't get nervous because Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and when he's talking about the second coming, about the end times, he says, encourage with one another with these words, comfort one another with these words. They're not supposed to, you know, the end times, the things that are written there, God's not trying to scare you into heaven. He's not trying to scare you out of hell. He's just telling you, this is what is coming for those who are not in relationship with me. If that's what you choose, choose it. You know, like I said on an earlier broadcast in Revelation, it says, look, if this is your lifestyle and you're happy with that lifestyle, continue in that lifestyle. But I'm just telling you, here's what's coming. Here is my plan, and my plan, it is going to come to pass. There's a major distinction between the way that the devil operates and the way that God operates. The way that God operates is he tells you what's coming. He tells you what he's going to do, and he does it. And there's nothing that can be done that's going to stop it from coming. The devil is very stealth in his behavior. He doesn't tell you what he's going to do. He tries to get you to believe exactly the opposite of what he's going to do. He tries to say, oh, I'm just here. I want you to be the most that you can be. And in the meantime, he's luring you away from God, and he sets the hook, and then he drags you away like an animal. I like the way God operates a lot better. You know, politicians talk about transparency and stuff like that. I want you to know, God is very transparent. He said, you know, I created the world perfect. Man sinned and messed it up. I sent a savior who was committed to dying for the sins of the world before I ever formed the world. And he lived a sinless life. He died upon a cross. He emerged from the grave on the third day, and he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And right now he is interceding for every person on the planet that they would come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay. And he's preparing a place for you. And when that place is prepared, he is coming for you. That's what God says he's going to do. He says, I'm going to come. I'm going to bind Satan for 1,000 years, throw him into a bottomless pit. And, I'm going to rule and reign in this earth the way that it was intended all along. And nobody's going to stop it. He says, where do you want to spend your eternity? Do you want to spend your eternity in a place that was prepared for you, or do you want to spend your eternity in a place that you were not prepared for? It was a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. As for me and my house, I want to spend my eternity in the presence of Jesus. And so, the interpretations come to pass. Verse number 23. A great disappointment here in Joseph's life, I'm sure. But remember, God works all things together for the good of those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay? Remember that verse when you hear this. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Have you ever felt like you had poured your life, your soul, and your resources into bringing spiritual healing to somebody, and once they got restored, they forgot all about you? I know exactly how that feels. You see, Merit Assembly of God, it's a place of restoration. We were restoring value spiritually and relationally. That's our mission statement. And God has told us that we are like a spiritual hospital, that people who are broken come in and they get healed. And you know what has happened a lot of times? Once they get healed, God shifts them out. And so one day I was having this discussion with God, and it's like, God, you know, I'm pouring everything I've got into this. And you know, our numbers are not great. And he said, well, what do you suppose would happen at a hospital if everybody that came in there that was sick, refused to leave the hospital? And it's like, sick people would stop being able to come there. He said, yeah. And so we're there on Grove Street, like a spiritual hospital, to minister to hurting people. And a lot of times, if you've done that, you will discover that when once people get restored back to health, that they go on and they might forget about you, but God won't. You know, Israel had a tendency to do that. They would find themselves in oppression. They would cry out for deliverance. God would deliver them, set them free, begin to prosper them. And as soon as they began to prosper, they forgot all about God. If you feel like you have poured your life into so many people and they've just forgotten you and went on their merry way, today I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the healing balm of Gilead would flow over you, because God has not forgotten about you. The chief butler, he forgot about Joseph, but he didn't forget forever. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Father, right now, I want to pray for those who are listening, God, who are dutifully living their lives to the glory of God. Lord, they love and they minister to hurting people. And God, I'm sure that a lot of them have been taken for granted and forgotten. And Lord, I just bind the spirit of discouragement right now. And Lord, I encourage them to lift up their eyes to you, because you are the source of their help. I want to thank you, God, that you have not forgotten them. Minister to them. Pour out your love in Jesus' name. One last thing. In the book of Malachi, it says, for those who feared the Lord met together and talked with one another, and God wrote a scroll of remembrance about them. He knows where you are. He has not forgotten about you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.